Either Christ on Calvary covered it all, or we have no hope at all. Just that simple. One or the other. Open your Bibles, please, to the little book of Jude, the last book before you get to the Revelation. The little book of Jude. This book is written to keep men from being guilty of apostasy, warning men not to turn away from the faith. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified or set apart by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, and called by the grace of the Spirit, grace of God. Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, now this is the main verse right here. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, evidently he'd intended to just write them about the gospel, about the grace of God, the God of all grace. Something happened. And he said, it was needful for me. He felt compelled by the Holy Spirit. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And that's such strong language in the Greek. It's like that old game the kids used to play at school years ago. King of the hill, you get on top of a hill and plant your feet and dare anyone to try to drag you down from that spot. That's what it means here. It means you plant both feet. You set your mind, you set your heart, you set your whole being. You won't be moved away from this gospel of the grace of God. Earnestly contend for that faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And the reason you have to do this is because certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of, notice this little word here, our, the grace of our God. That makes it personal, doesn't it? Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, using the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God, as a reason, an excuse to sin. Denying the only Lord God. And there's that hour again, our Lord Jesus Christ. John Calvin wrote one time, said, even a dog will bark if his own master's vineyard is being overrun. And that's what I see here. It's our Lord, our Master, our Savior. Earnestly contend for his truth. If you lose the truth, you lose the Savior. And then he puts and gives them several examples here of different parties that have known the truth, been identified with the truth, and departed from the truth, and they lost their souls. They perished in their sins. I want to talk to you a little bit about apostasy. Apostasy. Daniel Webster's dictionary says it's the desertion of one's faith, religion, party, or principles. Desertion of one's faith, religion, party, or principles. International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says this. It's a standing away from, no longer identified with. It's a falling away. The Bible uses that term, falling away. And it's a withdrawal from the truth, the faith. It is quite simply a defection. They defected. They turned away from God's truth. It seems to me, and I don't know much about it, but it seems to me that it must be the worst sin in all the world. To apostatize. An apostate is one who has heard the truth of God, turned away from it in his heart. He has professed to believe, love the truth of God, turned away from it. He heard the truth. He was identified for some time, for some while. He was identified with the truth. The church, the pillar and ground of the truth. Holding the faith of God's elect. And he has withdrawn or turned away. But we don't want to ever think of apostasy. And sometimes this comes to mind, and sometimes it's true. But apostasy is not necessarily giving up or departing from religion. It is most often a perversion of religion. It's departing from the truth, the faith of God's elect. Still in religion. Knee-deep. Waist-deep in religion. Up to their eyeballs in religion. But they're still apostates. The actual Greek word is only used twice in the New Testament, and in neither case does it mean departure from religion. It means a perversion of religion. They said Paul was leading men into apostasy, the Jews. And their way of thinking he was, because he was leading them away from the truth as they knew it. But it was false. He was leading them to worship God according to the way their fathers worshiped God. To the Jews, it simply means that he was trying to convince folks to apostatize. And he told them on one occasion publicly. He said, in the manner that they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. As far as they were concerned, he was leading the Jewish people into heresy. But he was doing what Peter commanded of the people on the day of Pentecost. He cried out above that big crowd. He never said, save this religious world. He never said, try to change this religious world. He said, save yourselves from this perverted, backward, upside down religious world. That's what Paul was trying to do all the days of his life. That's what he did in Acts chapter 17. You got all these inscriptions here to all these gods. Let me tell you about the one you don't know. The unknown God. You got a plaque there. Let me tell you about it. The real God, the true God, the only God. You don't even know. Look at 2 Thessalonians just a moment. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away, defection first. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. The Holy Ghost is withholding this man of sin, this great apostasy. It's not any worse than it is because the Holy Ghost is restraining. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now restrains or hinders will do so until he's taken out of the way, and just God stands back and says, let him go, leave him alone. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose working is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Apostasy. Turning away from the truth. They heard the truth. They were with those who preached the truth and loved the truth, but they didn't love it. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. You ever hear anybody on TV say God trying to save everybody? It says here God's sending folks strong delusions. Those who don't love his truth, send them strong delusions. Let them really believe it, and believe it all the way to hell. Justice. Judgment. Horrible. That they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But boy, we're bound to give thanks unto God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Or you'd be right there amongst them. You'd be right there with them. You wouldn't have loved the truth either. You'd be apostates too. Thanks be unto God, he chose you and called you and snatched you out of the flames of hell and brought you into the kingdom of his dear Son. This falling away here is not out of religion, but it's a falling away from the love of the truth. They didn't love the truth. Standing before the light and truth of God, they gave their hearts to signs and wonders and all of these things rather than the truth. Men must be very careful if they move on their feelings rather than the truth. This book is able to make one wise unto salvation. Not my feelings. Feelings come and feelings go. They're always changing. But the only thing worth believing is this book. That's a solid foundation. If we can come to love the truth of this book, standing before God, before the light, before the truth, giving their hearts to those signs and wonders and all these deceiving things, and they were deceived. And God sent them strong delusions. Let them alone. I'm reminded again of the things spoken in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. You turned your back on me, and I'm going to show you nothing but my back. Jeremiah, don't pray for them anymore. They've sinned so much, so long, so grievously that there's no longer any remedy. They're on the way to hell. Just one heartbeat away. And I read two or three times in the Old Testament more than that where people, they didn't want to believe the truth. They didn't want to hear God's truth. They wanted to hear lies, smooth things. God sent them lying spirits. Boy, it's a serious thing. Serious thing. Worship God. Look at 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith. That's apostasy. But they never departed from religion. They just added to it their own works and gave up the works of Christ. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They just kept lying to themselves until they were not only deceiving but being deceived. How awful. Look at these things. Forbidding to marry. That used to be a cardinal doctrine of Catholicism, Roman Catholicism. We say, well, it's just the way they believe. God said it's the doctrine of devils. The doctrine of devils! Don't you call it any less. Telling people what to eat on what day. Doctrine of devils. Apostasy. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That God sent them because they received not the love of the truth. But in the context, in these places where I've looked, this is an increase in religion. Not departing from religion, adding to it their own works, giving up faith in Christ alone, by the grace of God alone. This is what I'm trying to say. You can't depart from Madisonville unless you've been here. But you can depart from Madisonville in your heart and still be here. It can become to you a place you don't like. You talk about it. You talk it down. You run it down. Everything about it. You don't love Madisonville. What I'm saying, trying to say. You know, one of the sad things about this is, when you think about apostasy, apostate churches and people and nations, one of the sad things about it is that a man may, sweet little boys and girls, grow up in an apostate church and never know it. And never know it. Until it's too late. If God saved you from an apostate church, be thankful. Men may grow up, men and women, boys and girls may grow up in an apostate church, never heard the true gospel one time in their lives, never known that faith which was once delivered unto the saints of God. They speak of this faith and that faith, and there's only one faith. Paul said, if any man, even an angel from heaven, come preaching any other gospel unto you than that which I preach to you, he's under the curse of God. He's lying. Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9. This is pitiful. But it's inexcusable. Because everybody in America has got one or two or three or four of these. And that's a book of truth. light in a dark place. Tells the truth about God. Tells the truth about me. Tells the truth about Christ and salvation. The great things God done for sinners in the Lord Jesus. Pitiful, but inexcusable. Look how Jude opens and closes this little epistle. It's amazing. He brings together in this epistle in the strongest way divine sovereignty and human responsibility. He lets us know in the strongest terms that if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, God will keep you, take you home. He'll preserve you, and He'll glorify you in His own time. It says in verse 1, is set apart, chosen in Christ by the Father before the foundation of the world. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. And then it says they're preserved in Christ Jesus. Preserved. Preserved. Oh, that sounds good. Give me a feeling of security. I can't keep myself, but if Christ Jesus, if I'm preserved in Him, everything's all right. And then it said, called. I know something about that, what it is to be called by the Spirit of God, convinced and convicted of sin and guilt and hell, afraid to live and afraid to die. The Holy Spirit showed you who you are and what you are. And then seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit taking the things of Christ and showed them to me. I remember the verse, the passage of Scripture that I was thinking about that brought me the first peace I'd ever had as far as peace with God is concerned. Jesus Christ bore our sins, my sins, in His own body on that tree. I said, that's it. That's it. An old sinner ought to find peace there. Bore our sins in His own body on the tree. God's people are saved. They're going to continue to be saved. John chapter 17, verse 11, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me. And His prayers were always answered. They're kept. They're kept. John chapter 17, verse 17, Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. And Your word is truth. They're in the world, but not of the world. Sanctified, keep them through Your truth. And Your word is true. John 17:24, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. And I repeat, His prayers were always heard and always answered. And those standing there beside of Him that dark night, they must have rejoiced in those words. Here we see the precious safety and security of the elect of God. Not based upon our faithfulness, not based upon our power to keep ourselves or preserve ourselves. But we're set apart in Christ before the foundation of the world, preserved in Christ and called by the Spirit of God to Christ. And now we're in Christ. And based upon the faithfulness and the power of God, they shall never perish. Never perish. And yet it said earnestly, contend for that faith which was once delivered to the saints of God. If you don't, you'll be like these examples here, who started out well and ended up bad. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing but raise Him up at the last day. Our security is in Christ, the will of the Father and the will of the Son, the power of God. power of the triune God. And yet earnest to contend for that faith which was once delivered to the saints of God. And if you're a child of God, you will. You will. I had an interesting article a week or two ago in a bulletin with Brother Don Fortner. And in this one chapter, the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, God had sworn that he shall save his people. And then it goes on down near the end and it says, and you're going to give me no rest till I do it. Divine sovereignty, human responsibility. Same thing in Ezekiel 37. I called Don, talked to him about that. Same thing in Ezekiel 37. God goes through that new covenant and said, this is a new covenant. This is a covenant I'll make with the children of Israel after those days. I will, they shall. I will, they shall down through there several times. And then it says in the last verse down there near the end of the chapter, everything that I've said I'm going to do, you're going to ask me for it. And they will. They're going to ask him for it. The Bible says here in this book, he's able to keep them from falling and to present them. Where is that now? Verse 24, unto him who's able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Who's able to keep us from falling? Christ. Who's going to keep us from falling? Christ. With all the power of the thrice holy God, the omnipotence of God, he'll keep us from falling. The Bible says, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. God's power, but boy, it's my faith. It's my faith. And we must be like the Apostle Paul. He said, I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only, but all those who love his appearing. Kept the faith. Must not only have faith to be justified before God, to stand before God. But we must walk before God in faith. And we must die believing God. Die in faith. Earnestly contend for this faith here. This is the body of truth, the gospel. With our faith God's given us, we earnestly contend for that faith which was once delivered unto the saints of God. That gospel of the grace and glory of God. He is able to keep us. It's the Father's will that he raise us up. Every true believer shall be saved with an everlasting salvation, preserved in Christ Jesus, or better, for Christ Jesus. Verse 3 here in this little chapter of Jude. But if a man gives up the truth, turns away from the truth, stands away from the truth, no longer identifies with the truth, no love for the truth, he cannot be saved. Jude said, I had intended to write to you about the sovereign grace of God in Christ. Just rejoice your hearts. But he said, I was compelled by the Holy Ghost write and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for that faith which was once delivered to the saints of God. Warn them to earnestly contend for the faith. No man can be saved apart from this faith, whatever it is. This truth, whatever it is. This body of truth. Earnestly contend means, as I said before, to to plant your feet solidly upon a parcel of ground and let no one take it from you. Let no one move you from it. Stand there. Stand your ground. Earnestly contend. And verse 4, the danger is due to wolves who come to you in sheep's clothing. They come in unawares. You didn't notice them when they came in. They're so sweet. They got everything figured out. Pretty soon they start telling you about what they know. They creep in with bad doctrines. Pretty soon you find out they have a bad attitude. Pretty soon you find out that leads to bad practices. It all goes together. You got bad doctrine, you're gone. They creep in with their bad doctrines. They pervert God's grace and deny God's Son. Virtually deny God's Son. Talking about Him all the time, but denying Him in the power and the glory of who He is. What is this, what is this faith which exalts God's Son and magnifies His grace? What is it that we must earnestly contend for? Well, I'll tell you this, and I make no hesitation about it. If you don't believe in the total depravity of man, you don't know it. Man's either dead or he's not, and God said he is. Man's either totally disabled and without strength and spiritual things, or he's not, and God said he is. And I found by experience that he is. And so part of this faith, the very foundation of this faith, is understanding, coming to understand that we're in debt up to our ears and have nothing to pay. God requires so much, and we have nothing to give. God requires absolute perfection, perfect obedience to His law, not only on the outside, but from the heart. And the only one who ever did it was our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why all my trust is in Him. And I'll tell you this too, and I had no reluctance about this. If a man hadn't come to understand the disability, his own disability, inability, deadness to spiritual things, then he don't know this. He's an apostate. Or perhaps never heard the truth. Perhaps just in an apostate church. But the second thing is God's election of grace. There is in this Bible over 51 times in the New Testament a word, and that word is elect or election. And it's put there for some reason. Everybody claims to believe in a new birth, and it's only in that one time you must be born again. Talks about it another place or two, but you must be born again is only in the Bible one time. And yet it talks about election 51 times. And it says in Matthew 24:24, the powers of Satan and lies of Antichrist and deception be so great that if it were possible, deceive the very elect of God. Very elect of God. And that election we believe in must be unconditional. If it's not, then we believe there's something good in us, something good about us. We're not dead after all. And then to follow this on out, the sufficient and effectual atonement of Jesus Christ. He gave His life a ransom for many. And of those many, the Bible said He obtained for them eternal redemption. They're redeemed. Now, it doesn't seem right that they would go to hell if they're already redeemed. Christ paid the ransom. Christ paid the price. Christ suffered their hell. And you're right, it's not right. They won't. God is just. He cannot forgive the guilty, and He cannot punish the innocent. And we're made innocent in Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. All His work. All His plan. Invincible saving grace. Everybody should believe that. It shouldn't be hard. You know, in my experience growing up, going to church, hearing preachers, and my response, the desires of my heart, was to stay away from them, not to hear them. I felt kind of condemned, convicted, being in their presence. I just stayed away from them if I could. But God overcame all that, and then I started looking for them. Seeking them out. Hearing them on purpose. Asking them questions. And pouring out my heart unto God. Lord, open my eyes. Give me eyes to see. And the perseverance of the saints of God. We've seen that. 1 Corinthians 1:18, those who have been saved are being saved, and they won't be plumb saved till it's over. And time shall be no more. Then verses 20 and 21, I want to make a few comments on this, just a few. Building up yourselves. When Bruce Kavanaugh was here, he used to mention this a lot of times in his prayers. Lord, build us up in the most holy faith. But we build up ourselves also in the most holy faith. Building up yourselves. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We do those things, and it's not optional. We do them, but we want to do them. God works in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. And all of these things mentioned here, building up, praying, keeping, looking, all of this has to do with the Word of God. There's no building up your faith apart from this book. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no praying unto God acceptably, except according to the words of this book, the will of God, the Word of God, and God as He is. Faith can only be strengthened and increased through the truth. And we can't do it for ourselves, but we must. And the way we do it is say, Lord, increase our faith and read this book and hear this book. And all our trust is in Him. All our trust is in Him. Keep yourselves in the love of God is impossible apart from obedience to the Word of God and the will of God. Impossible. But we must do it. 1 John 2:5-3. Impossible apart from obedience. Looking unto Christ according to His promise. Keeping our eyes upon Him. Trusting in Him. And if we've ever seen ourselves, we will. We will. We might stray off a gaze and a glance someplace, but we'll be right back to Christ. God will see to it. God will see to it. We need to remember these three things, I'll say in closing. Number one, God's judgments against unbelief and rebellion and perversion of the truth. it shall come. And that there are certain men crept in unawares whose business is to pervert the truth. And God take care of them too in His own time. He'll judge them when He comes. And He'll save His people. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before His presence, or before the presence of His glory, with exceeding joy. The only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power now and forevermore. Amen. May God bless these words to our hearts. His glory and our good. Okay, David.